And a very good Monday morning to you, my friends out there in Radio Land. As we kind of talked about last week when we got together for a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the Professor, we are one quarter of the way to Christmas time. Since we last talked, it has become spring, and the peanut president, as I affectionately call him, Mr. Jimmy Carter, James Earl Carter III or IV, or whichever one he was, is now our longest-lived, or is it longest-lived, president. We'll talk about Mr. Carter shortly. Of course, at this station, doesn't matter if it's a quarter of the way to Christmas or what day it is, we give you Christmas presents every day in the form of outstanding radio talk, politics. Of course, I also talk about computers twice a week on this very same station, local sports, local events, controversy. We don't mind getting into controversial topics because that's what talk radio is about. It stimulates the brain cell and stimulates conversation, and that's all good stuff. So we now bring to our microphones Dr. Ronald L. Fineman, our official presidentologist, and as Scott Spears would say, he's a professor, he's a blogger, he's an author, and so we will pretend to be Scott Spears, but instead I'm actually Adam. And again, as we talked about recently, you can always tell that it's Adam because I call him Ron, and Scott calls him Dr. Fineman. So since I'm going to address him as Ron, we know that this is the Adam Lepp show, which we call, again, a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the Professor. And as a presidentologist, Ron, it's been pretty special several days ago when President Carter became the longest-lived president. Really, it's amazing that he hasn't been president since 11:59 a.m. and 59 seconds on the 20th of January, 1981. Pretty incredible. Over 38 years ago. Could you imagine, Ron, that when Carter left office in favor of Mr. Reagan, that you'd be on the radio with somebody almost 40 years later talking about him being the oldest president ever? Did that ever cross your mind?
No, and I don't think he was thinking that. He was quite depressed, Jimmy Carter, when he lost re-election. But the thing that's even more amazing is he and his wife in October had the longest presidential marriage, passing George and Barbara Bush. And, of course, Walter Mondale, who you love, of course, that I love a lot, too, is also still around. That's the first time we've had a presidential and vice presidential team surviving past 38 years. And Mondale was past 91, and Roosevelt's going to be 92 in August. And in October 1st, Jimmy will be 95. It's absolutely amazing, but I'm so happy.
Yes, I mean, Carter, as we've talked about, like any past president, you always find him to be better, or say more palatable, after he leaves office, maybe with the exception of Nixon, with the circumstances involving the beloved Richard Milhouse, Tricky Dicky Nixon. But Carter, you know, again, no one's going to question he was president during a very difficult time, some very nervous foreign relations. Again, with Reagan, it seems like it was more the Cold War and Eastern Europe with Carter. It was the Middle East, and we're always, seems like, in battles with the Middle East. It just is a hotbed of controversy leading to the very tragic hostage situation. Again, inflation, lines at the gas pump, interest rates. As we've talked about, Ron, we both, I mean, maybe me more than yourself, give at least indirect credit or blame to a sitting president for a trend that is happening during his presidency. And I've talked about the fairly good economy right now, and I give Donald some credit. I mean, I think you give him some smidgen of credit, maybe not as much as I do.
And I give him credit in the sense that it's continued, but frankly, the real revival down to under 5% and the 2.5 times the stock market was Obama coming in the worst time since FDR came in after Hoover and bringing about a miraculous recovery over the next 8 years. So, but yeah, it has continued, but I still contend if Hillary had won, it would have been the same. I don't think it would have been any difference.
Again, I voted for Hillary. I don't make any bones about that one. And, of course, hot topic, one we probably don't agree quite as much, is these escalating health care costs, which I put an actual direct blame on Obama, not even an indirect blame. And we go back, as we were talking about, to President Peanut 40 years ago, plus or minus, because he was president over 40 years ago when he won the election. I remember that that quite well, staying up past my bedtime since I was just a preteen at that time, and my mom, my dad, and I watching the results. My parents were both Ford people. My mom, as I said, she thinks anybody with a Southern accent is a hick. She wasn't a fan of Carter, and I kind of saw good qualities in both. I thought Carter, as a country boy, but a very smart country boy, as we've talked about, he had another person from the Deep South, Mr. Clinton, rated as two of our presidents with the highest IQ. So, sorry, Mom, and you know she's up in heaven right now, but I apologize. You're wrong about people with Southern accents. When it comes to presidents, they often are the smartest, which is kind of interesting. But anyway, Carter, you know, how much blame do we give him for the gas crisis, the Middle East problems, the inflation, the interest rates? It's hard to say. Certainly, the country took such a different direction with Reagan. I remember being so afraid of the Cold War and afraid of what could happen with Russia and their allies, and then the tear down the wall stuff, the cuts in student loan funding, because I was in college then, and we were told to write
it was very bad at that time.
Right to our congressperson about that, and I remember asking my dad who my congressperson was and writing to him and being upset about that. And you know, Reagan, as we both agree, Ron, was a very likable guy, wonderful sense of humor. I mean, a very talented actor, obviously. And he did good things. He was great for the spirit, as when he took office, our American spirit was very poor.
But on the environment, he was really bad, and now Trump has made it worse. So now Reagan even looks better on the environment, but he had a horrible record.
Yeah, you just don't know. And Carter, you know, if there was a president from two generations ago, Ron, that we would want to be alive so that we could talk about him, Carter would seem to be it, because it seems like there was so much transition during his presidency. And do you blame him? Do you not blame him? Certainly.
Yes, I want to mention historians have said that Jimmy Carter is the third best president on the environment. First is Teddy Roosevelt. Second is, of all people, Richard Nixon. And third is Jimmy Carter. And he only had one term, and Nixon had more, and TR had more. So he really stands out. And Reagan is terrible on the environment, much like Obama is very good on the environment, and Trump is terrible.
Right.
But Trump is worse than Reagan.
Before we do too much going off on a tangent, because I always do that, but I think it's part of the charm because we have multiple topics. Of course, you talked about free presidents, and I would agree those in recent times are our best environmental presidents. And as people who listen to this show probably figured out, two of them are Republicans. Now, granted, Roosevelt is more to the left than some Democrats, and certainly nothing like a Mike Pence or even Reagan or Bush Republican. Nixon, somewhat conservative, but when it comes to the environment, which is often considered a more left-leaning issue, he was outstanding. And Carter, although a Democrat, a rather moderate Democrat, I don't think we should put him in the category with Sanders and Harris and those people.
No.
So, yeah, times have changed, Ron, and it's just hard to tell a person under 30 that are you looking to buy a house? That's fine. Interest rates have gone up a bit, but they're still in the single digits. With Carter, they were in the teens, and it's really hard to fathom that. And to something that even in my lifetime that I've seen all these changes and I guess metamorphoses in this great, great country. And, you know, with Carter being alive, we just celebrate what happened, whether it was good or bad. And it was an interesting presidency. Ron, it was really hard for me to fathom that when I stayed up that night with my parents, them and being upset that Carter won, and just thinking, okay, we have a president from Georgia. He was a governor. He seems like a nice guy. And that was his problem, Carter. He was too nice. I mean, compare him to Trump in temperament. That's a whole other four or five shows.
Oh, they're totally opposite, Carter and Trump. Carter is, whatever you think of him, he's a wonderful human being, yes.
Yeah, and just to think of the legacy that he's had, me sitting at a radio microphone 42 years or so after he was elected, talking about him and his legacy and still being alive. And when he was elected, you know, something else about him is he looked really young. And to me, he looked like he could have been in his 30s. And it seemed like owing to a difficult presidency, he looked like he was in his 60s when he left office. And we're talking about 4 years. And
you
talk about how the presidency ages people. They make jokes about Obama's hair getting grayer. Well, I think he just colors it. But honestly, for a man around 50, you would expect to have some gray hair, for goodness sakes. I don't that stuff about Obama and the gray hair is just kind of silly to me. But with Carter, It's just amazing in his face. As you could agree, Ron, he aged literally 20 or 30 years in that 4 years of office.
But now at 94, he looks younger than he has been. I think he's gotten better as he gets older.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, and Clinton, too. I mean, 8 years, and I think he looked like he aged 8 years. But then he had the heart problems, and then he lost some weight. So he looks much smaller because, I mean, he's a big guy. And so we just seen kind of the way that the presidents change in their appearance. Carter, you know, though he looks older, he looks very healthy, and he still builds Habitat for Humanity. He still wears that neckerchief and that bolo tie, and still has that Southern gentleman thing about him. It just is amazing how in two generations, Jimmy Carter come almost like a folk hero. And, you know, and I agree.
I think when he dies, he will look a lot better about 5 years after he dies, when a lot of research, which can't be done while he's alive, will be done. I think just like Truman, after 5 years, he looked much better 5 years after his death. I think Carter will rise quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And we can look at presidents when they pass. How do we assess them? Would you agree, as I would, that with the recent passing of George H.W. Bush, he is looking a little bit better? Certainly experienced and a gentleman, that Donald Trump could take a lesson from. But would you say that in the few months since he passed, that your opinion of him has improved? And
I was never that anti-George H.W. Bush. I didn't vote for him. But I do see him as having been more significant than I thought he was. And I think, unfortunately, he's still like stuck between two glamour boys, Reagan and Clinton, as far as charisma. He doesn't have charisma, but I think he actually is a lot better than people make him out to be, although he has shortcomings like everybody. But being between Reagan and Clinton is a bad place to be. And I just want to say, Obama, whatever you think of him, when you compare him to George W. Bush and Donald Trump, that certainly makes him look better. By being in the right place at the right time, while Bush Sr. was in the wrong place.
Right, and as we've been talking about since we started the show today, and I've talked about almost every time, president is a benefactor and a victim of circumstance. And that's kind of what happens. If Carter were president now, without the gas lines and the 18% inflation, would it be different? Well, I would say it probably would be. And again, you would know better than I was, Ron, and I was just a preteen when he was elected. But he seems like a pretty moderate Democrat. I mean, to think that
he was, because Kennedy and Jerry Brown challenged him for the nomination in 1980. They thought he was too conservative. Yes, he was not a liberal Democrat of the FDR, Truman, Kennedy, Johnson type. No,
we are seeing more
moderate. Was Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton also was a centrist.
Yes, Clinton was economically conservative. I mean, I said his philosophies, although as a man he had a few shortcomings, but again, he is human, for goodness sakes. I'm not saying that that's right. Again, he should keep his pants on, but be it as it may, yes, is being economically conservative, accomplishing people on public assistance to work. I thought he was outstanding with that, and yet he had the people qualities that we look at in people that are more to the left, and the don't ask, don't tell policy, how that has evolved into the policies we have now. Clinton had a lot to do with that, and he wasn't afraid to step back and say, well, maybe I need to reassess this. And also a unique presidency with him. And I was reading about this. I'm sure you're aware of that, Ron. He and Gore, they weren't exactly friends toward the end of the election. And
Gore didn't want to use him in the campaign because of the whole scandal. And later they were blaming each other for the loss, even though Gore won the popular vote. But yeah, they weren't the best of friends. I think they made up since.
Essentially, jokes aside, Hillary was the vice president. I mean, she was, as far as I'm concerned, she was the vice president during his administration. Nothing that I have any complaints about. As you know, I do like her. She's not perfect, but the good well outweighs the bad. And nothing's wrong with that. I don't see any problem with having your wife help you run the country. I mean, get giggles aside, she was the first first lady to have a postgraduate degree. She was a lawyer, and she's obviously very sharp. And as we've said, their daughter, Chelsea, now is a PhD. So Bill Clinton, certainly the patriarch of a high IQ, well-educated family. And just what we've seen and the differences in the presidencies from Carter to Clinton to Mr. Trump, It just makes studying presidentology, as I call it, a fascinating field. And yeah. More than likely, that's why I've always been interested in presidents, but why my interest has just peaked and continues to expand, and why I like to do these prognostications and all that other good stuff. So, quarter of the way into the show, and we still haven't really gotten into, other than Carter, haven't gotten into some of the topics of the day, but that's okay. It just keeps people guessing and makes it more fun and makes people look forward to our next show. Let's go ahead and do breaking news, because this is important. We're just a few hours away from the Mueller, and big update in the Mueller investigation. It looks like Donald is probably smiling right now. I mean, he's probably on the golf course, but whatever he's doing, he's probably pretty happy. What are your feelings, Ron, about what has come down with the Mueller investigation?
Well, I do think that the controversy is not over, because the Attorney General William Barr has said that there is no possibility. You know, he's sort of cleared him of any involvement with obstruction of justice. And that is not the case, and that is not what Mueller says. And he, as someone just said, I saw it on Facebook, that how did this guy, the Attorney General, read the entire, Mueller, conclusions, which is so many pages in such a short time, and come to such conclusions? So I think the Attorney General is going to now be subpoenaed, and he's going to have to testify, because while it seems that the issue of Russian collusion might not be there, although I find it hard to believe that when you look at all the evidence, as far as saying that Trump is clear of everything, I don't think that's the case, and I don't think it's going to be just dropped as an issue that's resolved. I think far from it, but I want to hear from Mueller too and see what Mueller says, because he did not say that the obstruction of justice, he said there's no conclusion on obstruction of justice, but Barr went ahead and said there is a conclusion that there is no obstruction of justice, and that is, I think, as I see it, an abuse by the Attorney General.
So, a bit of a revelation yesterday, but we've not heard the end of it, is pretty much.
No, it's just beginning. I want to point out Barr was Attorney General under the first Bush at the time of the Iran-Contra pardons at the end of the administration, and that was highly controversial, and he recommended all the people involved in Iran-Contra under Reagan, and possibly including H.W. Bush himself, not being pardoned, but that Bush ended up pardoning all these people right at the end, and it was highly controversial, but it happened at the end as Clinton's coming in, and people were paying more attention to Clinton coming in and doing the things he did, including, talking about ending discrimination in the military for gays, and then backing off on it. So I do think that Barr is a ethically challenged Attorney General again.
Maybe he's been going to the bar a few many times, or, of course, Barr has a...
With Barr, B-A-R-R, his name is, B-A-R-R's. Yeah, I'm not too happy about his conclusions. He's come to conclusions he doesn't have a right to come to, but, I think it almost seems like a plant that he was put there because Trump knew he would do that. We'll see. Yeah.
Barr is interesting good, last name if you're an attorney, because you have the bar exam and you have the bar where you drink a drink a beer or two, or of course a bar.
And if you misspell bar, you add another R to it. Yeah.
Well, maybe that's how Donald Trump spells it, because, as you know, spelling isn't really his his strong point. But that's okay. It's part of the fun, Donald Trump, as I was talking about with a younger friend over the weekend, and I kind of implied this when we were talking offline recently, he's a, out of lack of a better term, think of a word I can't really say on the air. I'm sure you know what I'm referring to. And it's kind of an enjoyable quality. I know it's a negative quality, but it kind of grows on you. It's like, well, he doesn't take any, from anybody. And he doesn't care what even his supporters think, because even his supporters know he's not a perfect human being. And I kind of look at it, well, compared to Obama, with no scandals, the happy marriage, is it necessarily bad? Sometimes a change of scenery. Donald Trump is not a stupid man. I guess a lot of very smart people are bad spellers. I can think of my college days and people with PhDs and 100 publications, they weren't very good spellers, just because I'm a good speller.
Is one thing. A president who doesn't know science or history or economics or international affairs, more important than spelling, that's bad.
Right. There are many types of intelligence, and Donald Trump has the street smarts. He knows how to work the system, and that is important.
Yes.
And whether he does it ethically or honestly or legally, well, who knows? And we talk about the scandals and Obama. Yes, a very clean administration. As you know, I give Obama A pluses on you know, lack of a better term, his cleanliness, being a gentleman, setting a great example as a family man. The things that if Donald Trump had, I can assure you, he could be his president. He could be president as long as he wanted to be. But he's lacking in those qualities. And these, you know, again, these qualities he has that make him a, again, word I can't say on the radio, to some people, and even a little bit to myself, it does kind of grow on you. And it almost seems like it's an attractive quality. It's, you know, don't mess with us. And, you know,
but I want to point out Carter and Obama actually have a lot in common. Scandal-free administrations. Who else after Carter until Obama did not have scandal? Every single one. First Bush, not too much. But Reagan certainly did, Clinton did, and Bush too did. So, and now Trump does. So I think Carter and Obama have a lot more in common than we realize.
Yeah, Carter and Obama, the family men, the daughters also. About the same age. Of course, Obama had two daughters. So yeah, many similarities. And I wouldn't be surprised, Ron, if 40 years from now, you and I are talking about Mr. Obama being 90 plus years old and still around, still considered an elder statesman. It's almost like you kind of expect that. You see Obama like that, and you just didn't see Carter that way. But now he is, and that's kind of how presidents evolve. Which I guess
I wanted to say, if we're still talking in 40 years, you're going to be in your 90s, and I'm going to be past 100, and that's going to be the news story itself.
Yes, that would certainly be a topic of conversation, as I think I myself would also be an elder statesman. Where sometimes I feel like I am.
Yes, and I would be past 100, and almost nobody makes it past 100.
So we talk about usage of the English language, and we have a politician who has thrown his hat into the ring, and that is Mr. Well, I have other ways of pronouncing his name, but apparently Buddha Judge is how it's pronounced, and that's why I would...
Buddha Judge, yes.
Right. Besides his youth and kind of casual and but very intellectual nature, he just likes to be called Mayor Pete, because we can all pronounce and we could all spell Pete. So Pete, whatever his last name is, and it's kind of a funny name anyway, so at the risk of not giggling while I pronounce it, he has definitely thrown his hat into the ring. And he is an interesting character, Ron. He speaks multiple languages. He went to Harvard. He's a Rhodes Scholar.
Wow.
He's a veteran, and he still is in the reserves. And he is a family man, but let's say he would be a family man that would be unique because he is married to another gentleman, and they have, one adopted child. So, yes, a family man, just when I'm make a footnote that bit different than the aforementioned Obamas and Carters. He could be the youngest president ever, the only president, I believe, who is in his 30s. He's considered a millennial. He's on the edge of what would be considered the millennial generation. We have had at least one president whom we've suspected of being gay or bi, but none have been open about it. Again, we mentioned Buchanan being
Buchanan,
the one that...
Yes.
Generally assumed to be gay, but we don't know. But Buttigieg.
It'd be fun if he gets elected as how they try to figure out. You'll probably have to ask him, how do you want it pronounced? But that's what I read ERD on in the Washington Post said. It's Buttigieg, and he's a very reputable journalist, so I'm assuming it's Buttigieg. But imagine, he'd be 39 years and one day old on inauguration day, making him 3 years and 10.5 months younger than Theodore Roosevelt, and 4 years and 7.5 months younger than John F. Kennedy. And the first gentleman would be his husband instead of Bill Clinton, who would have been that if his wife had become president.
Right. It would be a rather interesting presidency. And again, as I point out, he's from Indiana. He's from South Bend, kind of between, well, a little closer to Chicago, but kind of between Central Ohio and the great city of Chicago. He's been mayor for several years. So even as a mayor of a medium-sized city in a major college town, he is fairly young. We talked about the very young mayor in Pittsburgh, who was in his 20s, and Pittsburgh being a bigger city, but a mayor of a city with 100,000 people and one of the largest colleges in the country, who was elected in his early part of his 30s, that's quite an accomplishment, and he's accomplished quite a bit in his mayoral tenure. So we don't question his intelligence. I think he has Melania beat in number of languages spoken. Is my question about Buttigieg, is he too liberal? And interestingly, I'm seeing that yes on some things, but he is nothing that he has done or said or stands for that I feel would be a disqualifier. And I might very well find myself Well, in Ohio, we have touchscreens touching the the touchpad thingy and voting for Mr. Buttigieg.
Yeah, let me just add in that I know you're not a Bernie Sanders fan, but note that Buttigieg won the competition for the JFK Profiles in Courage essay contest in 2000 when he was 18 years of age, a high school senior, and the valedictorian, writing about the integrity and courage of then-independent Congressman Bernie Sanders of Vermont and traveling to the JFK Presidential Library to accept an award from Caroline Kennedy and meeting other members of the Kennedy family. So I think that might blow your mind a bit.
Right, and I can't say that I consider that to be his strongest point, but I can let it slide as, again, Sanders is innovative, and he's different. And, again, people's political beliefs evolve. Mine certainly have, and almost every day it seems like I'm changing things, but that's all part of the fun of politics. As an American and not one who's an office holder, I have a right to have my decisions evolve.
Of course, we'll do.
So anyway,
even people in office change their views. That's why they're inconsistent. You know, people start off saying they're going to do something and they don't always do what they say, partly because of circumstance and partly because they're growing and changing. Yes.
Let's get to another presidential candidate who much more recently said something. And I'm not going to beat around the bush or plastic coat. It was extremely stupid. The word I want to say rhymes with trucking, but I can't say that on the air. So instead, I'll say it's extremely stupid. You're aware of whom I'm referring to, Ron, and what she said. And as an American, as a Homo sapiens, I don't care. As I say on Facebook, unfriend me, hate me. Telling the world that ICE is like the KKK is one of the stupidest, most insulting, most revolting things I've heard out of someone's mouth in a long time. Now, in general principle, Ron, you agree with me, not probably to the extent and to the amount of anger, but we would agree.
Yeah, we're talking about Kamala Harris, Senator
Correct.
Harris of California,
right.
Who said immigration and customs enforcement is like the KKK. That's going too far. I did say, and I've told you, that it does need reform. There have been some abuses, but not abolish ICE, reform it. But she went off to the deep end
saying that,
and I think it will harm her. Although I haven't heard much kickback on it other than from you as far as in the media, but maybe over time we'll have to see if she modifies in June when there's the first debate, if she's asked whether she'll maybe change the way she said it, because people can change their way of saying things and what they mean, and maybe she'll realize it went too far. But right now it is certainly controversial to compare it to the KKK. Yes.
No, and I again, there are certain things that really press my hot button, and as I've said, Donald Trump says a lot of stupid things. I do not believe I've heard anything out of his mouth that's as stupid as what Harris said. And let me also indicate, and I mentioned this about O'Rourke, Beto, or whatever his name is, the fact that he committed some serious violent crimes and said some very stupid things when he was college age. As I see it,
I think it was 15 when it happened, but whatever.
That's fine. Well, I went to college when I was barely 16, so that's college age as far as I'm concerned. So anywho, when people get into office, they end up saying things that are stupider and more regular, and more regularly do they go ahead and say things that they might regret. Donald Trump being an extreme example, but that's been the case with many politicians. So I would wonder about the corruption that would take place under an O'Rourke administration. And
I think that's presumptuous. You don't know that. You're just guessing, but I don't think we could say that.
But you would agree that it's very common for politicians who already may have a checkered past, they become more checkered. And Clinton also, with his escapades in the bedroom, they didn't stop when he was in office.
With Jennifer Flowers before he was running for president, yes. That's a little different, I think, than writing something, an essay when you're 15. I don't know if it's the same.
Well,
but of course, the other thing about the college prank is another thing.
Right,
I don't think he's the leading candidate anyway. I think he will probably burn out.
Right, I'm referring to the robbery also. That actually concerns me more. But getting back to Harris, and I could see her saying things that are worse, and she's already said something which, as I've said, and again, get aggravated if you want, I wouldn't vote for her to do anything more complicated than toilet cleaning, and I'm not sure I even trust her with that.
Well, first of all, we'll see what happens when the first debate comes. It'll probably come up as an issue, and we'll see how she'll modify her comments. Who knows?
We'll expect she'll get eaten up by everybody, Democrat, Republican, and moderator, for saying that, but we'll see. There is corruption with ICE, with every government agency, every line of work. Let's take a look at the police, for example. Most policemen and policewomen are wonderful, but some aren't. And sometimes we don't quite know. And let's take a look at politicians, which is Harris's line of work. There's a few bad ones there. In fact, that's often what is the focus when Ron and I get together on this show. But to imply that there is the blatant, egregious racism of the KKK, that is essentially what ICE is, that offends me as a Homo sapiens, and I don't know how else to say it.
Wasn't wise to say that.
Yeah,
that
we talk about relatively. What is a relative anger produced by what someone says? And I mentioned about Buttigieg and Bernie Sanders. I kind of see that as not overly harmful comment. I certainly wouldn't put that as the thing that I find attractive about him, but I can let it slide. As again, Bernie Sanders, I mean, he does have, as we say, chutzpah. He is different, and I'm not saying I would admire that because I find his policies to be dangerous, but you have to acknowledge what he's accomplished and the following that he has and the funds that he's raised. And as an impressionable person in his teens, I can see where Buttigieg is coming from. Hey, I pronounced it right. How about that? And we have Elizabeth Warren, whom I've mentioned. I could quite possibly consider voting for her. She says a lot of stupid things, but a lot of it isn't, again, it's benign stupid. It's nothing that really is going to offend somebody. The Pocahontas stuff was dumb, but it isn't even in the same, it isn't even on the same solar system as what Harris said. And that's part of what you see with Warren. You know she's going to spout her mouth off. And like with Trump, you have to be fair. She and Donald Trump, again, you know, the politics make strange bedfellows, Ron, but in many ways, she and Trump are similar. They spout their mouths off, and it's like they're both bad, in the second word, which I can't say on the air. And that can be kind of an attractive quality. And I like that it's a female. She just doesn't care. You know, she will say it, and it's part of her charm. And then you get back to the differences.
I'm not sure that a woman like that could get a lot of working class men to vote for her. I think she would have problems being elected. And the polls don't indicate that she's doing too well, considering she is so well known. I have a feeling an Amy Klobuchar would have a better chance to gain a lot more male votes because she's more moderate. That's why I still think Amy is the best of the women candidates.
We have, as often is the case, a diverse slate of candidates, and we shall see. But I think Harris is done. I just don't. That is gonna haunt her permanently. The Pocahontas stuff and Warren, yes, and I agree. Many men, rural voting men, probably wouldn't look too highly upon her. But doesn't mean she's
a professor. Warren, people like that don't like intellectual types, and Warren was a Harvard Law School professor. I don't think that's a plus to the working class people who think professors think they're so smart, blah blah. You know, people are very arrogant about professors. I've even seen some people who say that, oh, so you're a professor, you know, kind of thing. They don't see it as a plus. They see it as a negative, unfortunately.
Right. Well, we shall see. Of course, we have Joe Biden, his wife being a professor, who is still professoring, if that's a word, while he was in office.
And Joe's always saying things that he shouldn't be saying. Yeah. That's one of the problems. He says too much sometimes.
Right.
And that could come back to Biden. Honestly, and the you-know-what.
I can think the stupidest thing he said that I can think of is when he told the guy with the wheelchair to stand up. And you kind of feel sorry for the guy, but you giggle a little bit. I mean, it's not really nice to giggle about, but if that's the worst thing he said, I can let it slide, as I'm not hearing people say things that are millions of times worse and that are offensive. And I'm sure the guy with the wheelchair has a sense of humor. He understands it was an honest mistake. And
well, at least he didn't ridicule the man as Trump did with that particular reporter, who was disabled.
Well, as I said, Trump, even his staunchest followers will understand I don't think he's not a bad or mean person, but he is kind of again, the word starts with an A, it ends in an E, and has seven letters, and you can kind of figure out what I'm getting at. And it's almost like, you know, under your breath, you think, well, maybe we kind of like that. You don't really want to admit it, but it's like, okay, he's different. And certainly all those gentlemanly qualities that Obama has, Trump's almost like the opposite. And you do kind of wonder. But I point back to the fact again, I very much like his policy on border control and security. I mean, Ron, I think, does to an extent, not the extent that I do. We certainly need to reform a few things, but he certainly has the goal of keeping our borders secured, and that if you do enter the country, you do it in the proper ways, just like my ancestors did. But these gentlemanly qualities and other things that Trump falls short on, that's where the problem might come in. As we often say, Ron, could you take maybe a dozen presidents that have one great quality and just put them all together and make the perfect president? That isn't possible. We would take.
Well, I think I don't know if I've told you this, but I've mentioned to a class, about past presidents. If we could have a person with the charisma, good looks, and oratory of JFK, the domestic abilities, the domestic accomplishments of Lyndon Johnson, the foreign policy of Richard Nixon, and the morality and ethics of Jimmy Carter, that'd be a perfect president. And of course, they laugh when I say that, but we don't have all that in one president. No.
Would you be mad at me? Would you unfriend me if I add that the president should have the no-nonsense, zero-tolerance policies regarding legal immigration that Mr. Trump has? Would you be willing to just give Trump a little bit of credit for that, or is that kind of pushing it?
I would more praise George W. Bush for speaking up for immigration and talking about immigration reform, which this president doesn't care about. George W. Bush this week just did that, and I think he made us all respect him more, even though he has so many faults. So I'm not willing to do that, but I would say George W. Bush's attitude on immigration is the correct one, as I see it.
But you would agree at least partially, Ron, that Trump's, I understand he has a very goofy and often offensive way of doing it, but his general idea that border security is important, you would at least.
Yes, well, of course border security. Yeah. But this whole idea of migrant caravans has never by any news media source been proved. It's all a part of his imagination. And in fact, the ones who have come in have been women and children, little kids, not men who could be bringing drugs. So everything every major source says, it's all made up. And, you know, if they had proof, it'd be something else. Then I'd say, okay, he's right. But there's been no proof of that.
Well, so, in that we sense, shall see. And when it comes time for the debates, I'm sure it will be a hot topic. And like every debate,
as soon as when it all starts, and again, we'll be curious to see how Harris handles the issue of ICE. Because there's some other people also, I think, other candidates who have said get rid of ICE. And I think that's going too far. You don't get rid of it.
No question. I mentioned Mr. Kennedy. He appears to be in favor of abolishing that. And we have Ilhan Omar.
Good for the chapstick industry, right?
Quite possibly. But we shall see. And we don't want to spend too much time on this. But I think as Americans, we all want to be secure, both at home, in the streets, and on the border. How it's manifested, well, we could spend hours talking about that. Last but not least, the Parkland issue, Ron, it's very tragic. You want to spend a couple minutes talking about that before we say goodbye.
Had that massacre of 17 people killed and 17 wounded a year ago on Valentine's Day, and in the last 10 days, one female and one male student, who obviously were not hurt but were on the scene, committed suicide by gun. Oh my God! It's just so it shows PTSD kind of a reaction because they feel guilt that they were in the scene and they survived. And of course, one of the problems is too easy to get guns. Why should these kids even have access to guns, even through their parents or anybody else? It's really horrible. It's absolutely a disaster. Yes.
Yeah, it's. I'm not sure what to say. It just is painful sometimes to be an American and open up the news, and we just feel for these people. And I don't know the answer. Gun control. That's one, Ron, where I've been known to change my opinion every day. And I know guns don't kill people. People kill people. I understand that. And we have New Zealand, where there was a tremendous change in weapons laws after their recent tragic event. I don't know. I mean, we all agree, yes, guns don't kill people. People kill people. But if you give someone the tool that is a gun or weapon to kill, well, then it becomes more complicated. I don't know the answer.
And well, I know one thing. I think about 47,000 people last year committed suicide, not all by gun, but mostly by gun. And that's just horrifying. People of all ages, veterans and young people and elderly people. And I mean, it's just amazing that our concept of killing yourself, I just don't understand how people think that way, but it shows we have a lot of mental illness. It's very, very scary. And you never know, because you never can believe anybody would do it. And then someday, somehow you're going to know someone who's done it, not just somebody you read about. And that's a horrifying thought.
It is a difficult topic, but one we need to address, as it's real. And it's sad, and don't know what to say, but my heart goes out to anybody involved. I mean, we're all involved as Americans indirectly, but those closer to the situation, it is horrendous. And as I like to say, if we could all just get along, it would be a lot easier. Unfortunately, that's probably not a reality, but maybe in my lifetime it'll get better. Who knows? But Ron, once again, the show has flown by, and we've had great time discussing multiple current and recent events. Not always agreeing on everything, but that's all part of the fun. Celebrating the legacy of the now oldest lived president, Mr. Jimmy Carter. Can I call him?
Yeah. May I add one more thing about the president's attacks on John McCain this past week have been horrendous. You don't do that to a dead person. And then somebody said to me, "Why not? You would do it about Hitler." I said, "Well, maybe a Hitler or somebody like that, but not somebody who's a decent man." You don't.
No, that's a horrible analogy. That is offensive that somebody would say that.
But somebody actually said that to me. I said, "Well, that yes, you would attack Hitler, but you don't compare that to McCain." You know,
that's highly offensive. I don't know what to say, yes. But that person.
Well, there's some people who I talk to on Facebook who are highly offensive. But I try to be diplomatic and not block them.
That's part of the world around us. And as I said, Donald Trump says things that are stupid. That is one of them. However, what Harris said is much more stupid. But by no means am I giving Donald Trump a free pass. That will, I'm sure, come back to haunt them during the debates. And the debates will certainly be ones that will be good for the networks because they will get lots of advertising dollars because I think a lot of people will be glued to their TV screens. I know Ron and myself will be.
Yes.
And it'll be okay to giggle a little bit as... First of all, don't want to take yourself too seriously, but you know, when you hear things coming out of Donald's mouth, you never quite know. And it's okay to snicker a bit or just break out in a belly laugh because I think it's appropriate in some cases.
May I add one more final point? I'm joking more. If Kamala Harris was listening to this show and said, and was to get in touch with you and say, "I'd like to talk to you in person about this. Can we do this? Would you be willing to do that?"
I would love to. I'd say, "Kamala, here's my address. Come on over." I would love to.
Yeah.
I would absolutely love to.
Yes, I'm just saying.
Because, I'm not someone who says something and hides in a corner.
People should want to like clear it up or explain what she meant. You know,
I've said this, and I hope everybody in the world hears it. Our listening audience increases daily. Our station is growing. We've added shows. And I hope Kamala hears it and everybody else does. Yes, I'm not hiding anything. I feel strongly about that. And yes, Kamala, come on over. And let's talk about it.
Well, one thing is Ohio is a swing state. She'll probably campaign quite a bit. So maybe when you know she's coming, maybe the station, you and Scott, should try to arrange to have her on the radio in person or on the phone at least to talk about issues. It would be good to do that.
That would be an interesting show for sure.
Yeah.
And on that note, Ron, we thank you again for joining us on The Talking Place. And next show will be, well, maybe appropriate for the Trump administration. It'll be April Fool's Day. That should be
fun. Oh, my gosh,
yes.
That's right. Next Monday, yes. Anyway, thank you so much again for inviting me. It was great.
Right. Maybe some people think the Trump administration is one big April Fool's joke. Well, maybe we can talk about that.
I wish it was that.
But thanks again for joining us, Ron. Have a great rest of your day. Adam Lepp here on... The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.